From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's USDA WASDE Report Day. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about that report with commodity futures analyst Jackie Vakes from Stuart Peterson. She's right here in Champaign County. Daryl Good, ag economist from U of I, will have his analysis. We'll discuss what the impact might be on the cash grain market with the folks at the Anderson's Climbers facility there in Logansport, Indiana. And as we close out our program today, we'll talk about the weather forecast, the very, very cold temperatures that made its way across a portion of the hard red winter wheat growing belt earlier today, and the impact it may have on that crop with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. And it all happens right here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Let's check the numbers now as they finished up in Chicago. Settlement prices in from the CME Group. Remember, they changed their hours this week. Closes in at 1:15 in the afternoon, which means settlement prices are certainly available at 2 o'clock. July futures in the hard red winter wheat at 7:38. We're down 16 cents on this day. And the July in the soft red down 11 at 7:03. From the corn pit in Chicago at the CME Group, nearby May at 6:49, a settlement price up 4 3/4. July at 6:32 1/2. That's a nickel higher on the day. September at 5.66 3/4. A settlement price up 4 1/2 cents. In December corn on this WASDE report day at $5.43. The new crop up 2 3/4. March contract at 5.53 1/4, up 3 cents. And the May futures at 5.61 1/4, up 3 for the afternoon. May contract in the bean pit down 2 3/4 at $13.92 3/4. July at 13.67 1/2, 3 3/4 lower. The August at 13.36, down 3 1/2 cents. September soybeans $12.76 1/2, down 4. And November at $12.37 1/2, 4 1/4 lower for the day. January contract at 12.43 1/2, down 4 1/4 as well. Bean meal at 392.90, down $1.90, and bean oil at 50.03. That's up a nickel on the afternoon. Live cattle in the June contract at $120 even, down $1.70. The August at 120.75, down $1.90. The May feeders at 142.32 1/2, were up $2.42 1/2. August at 149.17 1/2, that finished 240. Lower, and the lean hogs in the May contract at $87.55 were up 25 cents. By the way, the feeders were all down, not higher. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, May contract $94.55 a barrel, up 35 cents. May Arbob gasoline, or the wholesale price, down 7 5/10 of a cent at $2.86 6/10. And the ethanol trading at 2.42 3/10. That's down 7 6/10 of a cent for the day. The difference between the two is still 44 3/10 of a cent. As long as it's positive, it's good, says the ag economist at the University of Illinois for putting ethanol into the gasoline supply. Natural gas at $4.09 3/10 of a cent. That's up 7 6/10 of a cent. And heating oil or diesel fuel at $2.94 1/2, a penny and 6/10 lower. Gold futures at $1,558.40 an ounce, down 27.90 in the U.S. dollar, up 0.22 at 82.53. Here's what the weather forecast looks like. As it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon, showers and thunderstorms, and they are coming down. Mostly cloudy, a high of 71 degrees on a south wind at 11 to 13 miles an hour, gusting to 20. Chance of precipitation in the area set at 70%. Tonight, occasional showers, a few thunderstorms. Some of those storms could be severe and produce heavy rainfall, low of just 52 degrees, a south wind at 8 to 10 miles an hour, gusting to 15. 100% chance of rain in the area this evening. Thursday, occasional showers and thunderstorms. They will all come before 8 in the morning. Then a chance of showers after that, a high of 56 with a southwest wind at 11 to 13, gusting to 17. On Thursday, 100% chance of rainfall. Thursday night, cloudy and 37 degrees on a southwest wind at 13 miles an hour. Friday, cloudy and 46. Mostly cloudy on Friday night and 33. And Saturday, partly sunny, with a high near 51. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Wednesday afternoon. The World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates were released this morning, and here to talk about those and what happened in Chicago, the reaction, is Jackie Vaik. She's at Stuart Peterson right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Jackie.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, let's take a quick look at the numbers, and maybe we should go through the reports fairly quickly. The WASDE numbers for corn managed to change the ending stocks, but not by as much as some had anticipated. Ending stocks for corn now, what, at 757 million? I'm looking for that number in front of me.
Yep,
but I think that's correct. And that's up from, what, 632? Not quite as big a change as some had expected, but I suppose within the range of what producers and the industry was looking for.
Well, the range was unbelievable, Todd. It was from 625 to 925, so it had a lot of room to move a lot of different directions.
I pretty much knew I was safe.
Yes, you were. Anyway, yes, coming in at 757, I think people were disappointed, perhaps, because we initially had a reaction that was quite a bit higher. Tested 666 and three quarters up in May, and then fell back down to that 634 level and came back out and finished at 649, but not a big surprise. I think basically the reaction came out of the U.S. report first. We also saw resting orders, some on old crop, I believe, above the market, which triggered some sells, which triggers some sells on the part of people who are buying it, and then it fell back down, and that basically triggered some buybacks. And I think we finished the market reasonably, being higher. We should have. The world numbers are the ones that were really the dogs, and that held us from going a lot higher. We actually came in 5 million metric tons higher on the corn carryout at the world level. They made an adjustment to last year's crop. This was amazing. In all three at the world level, they made adjustments to last year's crop. They raised last year's crop by 0.72 million metric tons. On corn, just 0.12 on beans, but the one that was significant was the wheat, and they raised that almost 3 million metric tons. Otherwise, we wouldn't have seen such dramatic changes. And I've been trying to track down what they were doing, And when I look at corn on the feed usage, they dropped the world feed usage by 5 million metric tons on corn, but they also dropped the wheat usage on feed by 5 million metric tons. And so I'm not quite sure. We know that we saw a higher corn number come out of Brazil, 1.2 or 1.5 million metric tons more production. So you could understand that, but where the balance came from and why they dropped it as dramatically as they did, we know they took 150 million bushels out of the U.S., which is about, it's less than 4 million metric tons, So I suppose you can justify it on the corn side, but I just can't justify it on the wheat side.
Wait,
so.
I don't have the wheat numbers in front of me, but I think they adjusted wheat numbers for feed usage down in the United States too, right?
On the wheat side?
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. They went down 15 million, but 15 million metric tons is not anywhere near
million,
what they did.
Yeah, 15 million bushels, right.
Or 15 million bushels, yes. Excuse me. Yeah, that doesn't justify what's going on. But what's really weird on the wheat side of the world number, Todd, is that they dropped the feed usage by 5 million metric tons, but they raised the other usage by 4 million metric tons. Now, I just can't quite peg where they're at. Let's just put it that way. But I'm glad we have it behind us. I think that it now gives the market reason to pause, take a good look at all the other things they should be focusing on, and that being, of course, weather, world economy, world weather, not just U.S. weather, demand, of course, money flow. All of those things have just been kind of thrown to the side as we've headed into this report. So I thought the 125 million bushel carryout on beans was pretty interesting here in the U.S. The fact that they actually raised the crush, but they dropped the seed by 24 million, that's probably one of the largest drops I've ever seen on seed ever. And they did raise the export number, but only by 5 million metric tons. So I'm not quite sure, where it all balances out. But we stayed at 125 million metric tons here in bushels. Boy, I tell you,
right.
I should just be talking U.S. and then talk the world. Anyway, yeah, bushels. And I actually think in all realism that we're quite a bit lower than that. and they just they're just not going to allow that to show up.
Well, our stocks to use ratio is really very tight. Actually, much tighter in the beans than it is in the corn at this point.
Yes, I mean a 4.1% stocks to use ratio. You know that it just continues to be about 15 days beyond that August 31st number or date, and so that, it's extremely tight. There's no question. I think that what they're hoping for is that we're going to see some more bean plantings just because we're slower down in the south in some areas. And, you know, when you look at North Dakota now is they not only have flooding in the Red River Valley, but now they've got this snowstorm going through. Their soil temperatures are really, really cold. And, I mean, our soil temperatures aren't that great when you look at it. And, of course, we always want to compare to last year. You know, last year when we had like 300 growing degree days already, where
yeah,
we only probably have about six right now.
Let's not compare to last year.
Okay. But you know, one of the things I think that was really missed in this report, you know, they talked about dropping corn feed usage at the world level because of China feeding, and yet they raised China's imports for corn from 2.5 million metric tons to 3 million metric tons. And that just seemed to be lost in everything else that was going on here. So the reality is, if they're going to be feeding less corn at the world level in China, but they're going to import more corn from us, okay. I mean, the China import situation is a positive thing that should help underpin our market here on the corn side. Mm-hmm.
So on the corn side, since we're at 757 instead of, oh, I don't know, something around 850 to 920 or something like that, on the higher side, which many had thought might be the case, and the numbers kind of bore out from the grain stocks report, does that smooth out a transition for the old crop corn? I know we dropped significantly, a dollar. Can we get 40 or 50 cents of it back?
I believe we can. I think that... I think what happened on the board here was an extreme overreaction. Now, the only way we won't get it back is if they continue to raise the basis out in the countryside, and if basis does its job and it pulls the corn out of the country, then you know, then I think that the board will have a tough time getting back 40 or 50 cents. But I sense that that's not going to be the case, because I think farmers, after you know, they dried up on their selling. You had people who sold in panic, like we see occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is, you know, there just isn't that much corn in the countryside. And so if after the big push down and now after this report today, I think you'll see farmers hanging on tighter than they were before to whatever remains out there. And because these stocks were not as big as what some people feared, and therefore I believe that we will see the commercial buyer have to come in and buy the futures. But, hey, what the heck, after a dollar drop? That's not a bad situation to be in that respect. So, yes, I do think we can see it. Is it going to happen in the next 2 weeks or the next 30 days? Probably not. I think it's going to push itself out more into the, you know, mid-May, end of June. That time frame is when we'll see more of a push higher. But they're going to have to try and get grain. There's no doubt when you look at the May corn being at 649 and July being at 632.5, that board is still saying to us, we want your corn now. And it's saying the same thing on beans, 1392 and three quarters to 1367. Nothing has changed. The board continues to tell us they need the grain, they want the grain. They're not going to pay you to store it. And so we've just been trying to encourage people to stay on top of their basis. What we saw was this big push down on the board, but basis actually really returned some of that in the long run out there in the countryside, and guys were able to still sell at the $7 level. I talked to a bunch of guys today that in the I states here, and we were looking at, when we were trading lower, we were looking at a 40 cent cash basis higher than what the futures were. So yeah. I think there's opportunity there.
Jackie, thanks so much. We'll talk to you again for Commodity Week.
Have a good one.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. Jackie Vakes is with Stuart Peterson from Champaign County right here, and will join us for Commodity Week. Our guest this week, by the way, will be John Bondurant.
Leonard Seed Service supports agricultural programming on WILL as an additional service to its customers. Leonard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgro on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. On the morning of the 10th of April, the United States Department of Agriculture released the World Agricultural Outlook Board's WASDE, or World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates. Ag economist from the U of I, Daryl Good, is here to discuss those numbers. Tell me about the numbers as they were released.
Well, I think the most interest was probably on the corn numbers, Todd, and as expected, the WASDE folks lowered their projection of feed and residual use for the year. The question really was how much would they lower that based on the March stocks number, and they cut the projection 150 million bushels, which I think was pretty much in line with what the market expected. At the same time, USDA increased their estimate or forecast of the amount of corn used for ethanol this year by 50 million bushels, but also lowered the projection of exports by 25 million compared to last month's projection. So the net change, consumption 125 million bushels less than forecast last month, year-ending stocks 125 million bushels larger than forecast last month. In the case of soybeans, the projection of exports actually increased by 5 million bushels, the projection of domestic crush up 15 million, and the projection in that elusive residual category declined by an equal amount, so that year-ending stocks are still projected at pipeline 125 million bushels. In the rest of the world, we did see a larger production estimates for corn in Brazil, up about 1.5 million tons, smaller import projections for soybeans into China, partly offset by larger imports expected into the European Union and Mexico. Bottom line, not a lot of change for the U.S. balance sheet, slightly larger corn stocks. The big change was in the projection of stocks for South America. Soybeans increased quite a bit from last month.
Does it do the job of offsetting what happened in the grain stocks report in a proper way, do you think?
I think it does. I think the way to gauge that is USDA now projecting feed use for the year at 4.4 billion bushels of corn. And if you subtract from that the implied use in the first half of the year, it says that second half consumption would be about 80 million bushels larger than what we apparently consumed a year ago. And last year, we know that summer use was really probably understated because of the early harvested 2012 crop. The number of feed and residual use for the last half of the year would be about 100 million larger than 2 years ago. To me, it's very logical. It's a number that's very defensible and I think is a reasonable expectation at this point. But all bets will be off with the June stocks report.
Yeah, of course, the June stocks report due out the 28th day of that month. It will come out and coincide with the acreage figures, planted acreage figures for the United States. Do you think 757 million bushels left in the bin for the end of the marketing year is, given no big surprises in the grain stocks report, pretty close?
I think it probably is. I mean, with half the year over, what we're projecting is use in the last half of the year. Exports, you know, could vary a bit from the 800 million bushels projected, but it's a pretty small number, not likely to change a lot. The bump up in ethanol production, I think, it may be a little generous, but probably is fairly close. It all comes back to that feed and residual number that will be revealed in June, but at this point, you would have to feel fairly comfortable that the number is in the ballpark and says that year-ending stocks will be tight, but we'll have ample supplies to get to the new harvest.
Midday Thursday, market reaction was blasé?
It was kind of blasé. I thought maybe we would get a little bit of a positive reaction in the corn market, but weakness continued, particularly in the old crop months. Really didn't seem to change the mindset in the marketplace too much.
There is a time when the futures begin to look forward to the next marketing year or the next crop year. I suppose that is happening at this time.
It really is. I think with the ongoing kind of adverse weather in terms of getting the corn crop planted, there is some gnashing of teeth, I think, a little bit about how timely this crop is going to get planted. We're kind of in a wet, cold pattern here in April. Looks like corn planting for the most part in the Midwest is going to be pushed back to late April, early May. I think that's still very timely planting, but if we see even further delays, then I think there will be some ongoing concern about corn acreage perhaps being shifted to soybeans, although historically it's taken a very late planting season for that to happen, but also some concern about yield if corn planting gets much past the first week of May.
For old crop, USDA, at least on corn, lowered their average cash price for this marketing year. What are your expectations for the next marketing year?
I'm still in the camp that says we have the potential of a very large corn crop yet, and prospects for building inventories. And under that scenario, I would expect we would bring prices back down to the pre-drought levels that we experienced in 2010, 2011. It would be more in the 4.5 to 4.75 range, compared to just under $7 expected for this marketing year.
Marketing advice from you, I'm sure, included take crop insurance, but what now?
Yeah, I think now with the delays in planting here and still some ongoing dryness in the western areas, given the price declines that we've seen in the corn market, I wouldn't necessarily be very aggressive on pricing new crop corn at this point, thinking that this weather uncertainty, yield concerns, could support or bring a little price increase back into new crop corn.
Thanks, Daryl.
You bet.
Daryl Good, ag economist from the University of Illinois. I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the closing market report on this Wednesday afternoon. Let's check the cash grain market. On the phone line is Scott Butcher. He's at the Anderson's Climbers facility in Logansport, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Scott.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Rainfall there?
Yeah, we've been seeing a little bit here in the last 24 hours, and it looks like we're going to see some more here pretty soon.
Have any movement of tractors prior to that?
Yeah, we did have a little bit, some guys just putting on anhydrous or, you know, those types of things, you know, maybe just trying some stuff here and there, but, you know, movement is very slow so far.
How did basis react to this morning's USDA report?
Really have not seen much change. We did get, you know, maybe a little bit weaker in some locations, but not really much change from it.
And what are your numbers for the day?
Cash price for corn were $6.72, beans $14.14.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Scott Butcher is with the Andersons. He joins us here on the closing market report on this Wednesday afternoon. We'll be back in just a couple seconds, and we'll 2 minutes, that is. We'll take a look at the weather forecast with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated. He's in Kansas City.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
It's National Chinese Almond Cookie Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1682, Robert de La Salle discovered the mouth of the Mississippi River and claimed the whole Mississippi Basin for France. He named it Louisiana in honor of Louis XIV of France. La Salle returned to the New World 2 years later with intent to establish a French colony on the Gulf of Mexico at the mouth of the Mississippi. But the expedition was plagued by pirates and poor navigation, landing on what today is Victoria, Texas. LaSalle never saw the Mississippi again. Three attempts to find it on foot failed, and LaSalle was eventually murdered by one of just 36 colonists remaining from the original 300 making the trip. In 1850, William Prout died, an English chemist. He was the first to classify food components into three main divisions, carbohydrates, fats, and proteins. In 1872, Samuel R. Percy of New York received a patent for dried milk. In 1894, R.H. Gray received a patent for a baling press. And in 1922, Sir Patrick Manson died. Manson co-founded a dairy farm in 1886 in Hong Kong, which looked to improve health by supplying cows milk free of contamination by means of stringent hygiene. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated is on the phone line. It's a busy weather day across the Midwest. Tell me what's been happening, Drew.
Well, first of all, the cold weather this morning brought freezes and possible wheat damage to the southern plains, really from southern Kansas down into most of western Texas. Temperatures dropping down into the teens and 20s. It is April 10th, and that's not a good time of the year to have that kind of temperature, especially after 80 and lower 90-degree temperatures were reported the two previous days. So we were going from one extreme to the other back there, and it's really stressing the crop, producing further losses, unfortunately, for some hard red winter wheat country. In the meantime, we saw some hefty amounts of rain and freezing rain working their way across eastern Nebraska and southeastern South Dakota over to Michigan in the last 24 hours. Some 1 to 2.5 inch amounts of moisture helping out greatly some of the drier areas in northern Iowa and southern Minnesota and southeastern South Dakota. Even Nebraska has been involved with some substantial precipitation in the last 24 hours with some pretty impressive snow accumulations occurring up there and an opportunity for, again, a boost in soil moisture to occur for them when the snow melts. And additional precipitation will occur in all of these areas I just mentioned as we go forward through the coming week. There's two, if not three, storm systems expected to move across the north half of the plains and into the heart of the Midwest. Now, for the lower parts of the Midwest, we're probably going to see a little more fieldwork occur here today before a line of thunderstorms works its way from west to east across the region. That is going to set us back out of the fields again for a little while, but we'll probably have 2 days worth of dry weather after that, maybe to three, and then some more showers occurring across that particular part of the Midwest. All other areas in the Midwest are probably going to see a high enough repeating nature of showers and thunderstorms and even some snowfall over the coming week to 10 days to keep field work to a minimum. So really from the Ohio River southward to the Delta, the Tennessee River Basin in the southeastern states is where most of our field work is going to occur for a while.
Will be slowed down. Will we bring temperatures back up and consequently soil temperatures up to the point at which farmers will be able to get into the field fairly quickly after the rains come in?
Well, you know, that's going to be a tough struggle, but we will do a little bit of that. I think we're going to be bouncing around on these temperatures quite a bit, so don't look for the big dramatic warm-up. We're going to continue flirting around that 50-degree minimum required temperature pretty much over the next 10 days. It'll be good for some areas, and some areas may be pocketed as being rather cool for a while. So we're going to have to wait a little longer before we can get more aggressive with a warm-up across the region.
And then turn your attention quickly to South America and your thoughts on China.
In South America, Brazil's rainy season is about to end. Looks like as we go through the weekend into next week, there'll be a significant decline in precipitation. It is that time of the year. We should expect this to be a quasi-permanent feature for the northern parts of crop country there. And Argentina will see a freeze, perhaps, on Friday and Saturday mornings, which may do a little bit of damage to some of the immature double-crop soybeans. in China, everything looks very good right now. I don't think there's a problem out there in the key wheat or corn producing areas. They should become more aggressive with their corn planting in the next 10 days.
Thank you so much, Drew.
Have a great day.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City and helps us wrap up this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. Remember, you can find all the USDA numbers from the WASDE figures online from us at willag.org. I'm Todd Gleason.